Hey, welcome back. Rick here. I have Christian Molina, who's worked on Windows Server 2012 Essentials, and he's graciously decided to join us here and talk a little bit about what we're going to see with Server 2012 Essentials and everything about it. Why don't you give us a little bit of your background, if you don't mind?
Yeah, thank you, Rick. So I worked in Windows Server 2012 Essentials. I was the lead program manager for the team from planning until we RTM the product. Since I've moved on to a different team in Microsoft, but I'm here to talk about Essentials and show you some of the things that are new in 2012.
Very, very cool. Now, I know from a release perspective, the Server 2012 Essentials came out after Server 2012 went to general availability. Don't know the exact number of days, but it's definitely a little bit period longer. What would you say is the thing that most people notice the first time they go off and they buy a server Windows Server 2012 Essentials box from an OEM? And powers on the very first time as an IT pro, as the person that goes in and touches and builds and works with servers. What's the first thing that I'll notice?
So the first thing is that we try to make the experience very simple for you to set up and configure the Essentials server. So when you first go into initial configuration, it's going to feel a lot like when you buy a PC. Basically, you start out by just doing some configuration around time zone, keyboard, and then you do the first boot. Once you do the first boot is when you actually see the Essentials dashboard.
Okay, so right out of the box, very simple setup, and then you go into the dashboard, and that's when you actually start doing the configuration.
Exactly.
Now, one thing that I've noticed from my friends who work in this kind of space as IT pros and consultants and stuff like that, it seems to be that Essentials is designed for an environment where you don't necessarily need to have full-time IT staff inside that environment. Does that still hold true with Essentials 2012?
Yes. So Essentials 2012 is designed with the premise of simplicity in mind, keeping everything simple and as easy to do as possible. All our wizards will walk you step by step through all everything you need to do in order to get a certain feature enabled, or if you're adding users or backing up your machine, it walks you through every step of the way that you need to follow.
Okay. One of the things I found when I was using Essentials was I always try to find the other way of doing stuff as opposed to using the dashboard. So I guess the biggest piece of advice we can give people is just use the dashboard. Go through that process and figure it out, and then that way, if you're a more advanced person as an IT implementer. And then once that those steps are done, then if you wanted to, you could still go back and use traditional tools to go off and manage it.
That's right.
Although it's all done through the dashboard.
Right. And one of the things that we invested on in Essentials 2012 that you'll see right when we go into the dashboard is that we took user feedback around how easy it was to go to the homepage and go through the tasks to enable. And we actually revamped that page and gave it a different flow and a better flow of information so that the user is able to make their decisions much simpler by getting all the information in one page. So, and you'll be able to see that when we go through the demo.
Okay. Well, you know what? Why don't you actually go ahead and I'll flip this over here to the demo machine and just give us a little bit of a walkthrough about what the dashboard looks like.
Right. So this is a new look and feel of the dashboard in Essentials 2012. It follows more of the Windows 8 pattern of user experience. It's simplified. It's very different here because we give you actually a new menu on this side. When you first start up, your setup, which I'm pointing out here at the bottom, will be at the very top because you've done no setup tasks. In this case, I've configured the machine, so that's why the setup, there's no more setup tasks for me to do, so you scan to the bottom, it's not as important.
Oh, okay, so it actually is very sequential with the different steps you'd be going through that make the most sense.
Right, right. It's meant to keep it simple and you start from the top.
Okay.
But once you're done, you're able to go back and see a quick status on all your features that are enabled and gives you some information on them, and if you click on them, you get even additional information, more details.
Oh, okay.
But let's go to setup. And one of the things that I would point out in Essentials 2012 is setup anywhere access. I mean, this is part of the previous version as well. But in anywhere access in Essentials 2012, we also now enable virtual private networks. So let's say that your client machines were off-premise. Let's say that you have a salesperson who doesn't work in the office, but you want their PC or laptop to still be joined to this essential network, have all the access to your shared documents, and be able to get all the health alerts, as well as backup of specific files or folders. You can do that now from off-premise. So basically, you go to the client connector. Now it creates a VPN profile. and you're able to actually connect directly to the server that is running somewhere else.
Oh, okay.
That was not there in the previous version of the product.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's part of that setup. So why don't you point that out? Other things you keep in mind here is the other ones are pretty self-explanatory. You have backup of your server, and you want to set that up for disaster recovery. If there's any problems you run into, you want to be able to recover quickly. Servers and folders, users, email notifications, media, and then how to connect your computers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're connecting your computers within your intranet, which means it's inside your same network.
Yeah, inside the brick and mortar, if you will.
Exactly. Then you can do it through HTTP server name /connect.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're doing it off-premise, then you have to use the domain name that was used to set up anywhere access /connect to be able to reach that.
Oh, okay.
And I can show you this quickly here. Let me kind of go back and show you. In this case, this is my I have my domain name up here, connect. And you get to this page, you'd click this,
okay.
It would walk you through every step to get the machine connected.
I seem to remember something like that, very simple, with the Windows Home Server and the previous versions of Essential /SPS kind of thing.
Yeah, this kind of experience hasn't changed as much, but mm-hmm. we've added the remote network and domain join, as well as the VPN profile.
Oh, okay, cool.
Let me go back to server here. So another thing to show you here is email. So email is important. It's a workload that every small business almost will have.
Mm-hmm.
And the key in Essentials 2012 is flexibility. So whether you want to have Office 365, for example, we provide an add-in for Office 365 that is part of the integrated solution. We had an add-in for the previous version as well.
Mm-hmm.
We have an add-in here as well for Office 365. It's integrated throughout the solution, and I'll show you a little bit more on that in a little bit. But for example, let's say that you want to have an Exchange server sitting there on-premise. You can configure that, and you can connect that server to your Essentials network. And we have an add-in for that, so that you can get the same type of experience you get with the Office 365 add-in, where things are integrated through your solution.
Oh, okay.
You can also, in Essentials 2012, what we've done is we've also said, okay, there's a third option, which is, let's say that there's somebody else out there that offers a hosted Exchange provider.
Mm-hmm.
So we've actually extended the capabilities in the add-in model to make it easier for a hosted Exchange provider to build a add-in for their service that would then have some of similar capabilities that you'd see with the Office 365 add-in.
Mm-hmm.
And the key there was just to help reduce the amount of time it would take for them to develop it. So,
okay.
And that can be found in the MSDN documentation.
Yep.
So let me show you a little bit about the before I go farther into the task here. Let me walk you a little bit through the Office 365 add-in. So just to give you an idea here, this didn't come set up in the box. This was set up after the fact, once I logged onto my dashboard, mm-hmm. and basically I went through and set up the Office 365 add-in.
But you would also do this, I think, after you've already created some user accounts?
You don't have to have created user accounts, but you do have to have an Office 365 subscription.
Oh, okay. So you have to add subscription details in, and this basically comes up in line.
Yeah. The Office 365 add-in, when it walks you through it, basically all the main thing is you need to enter your subscription ID and your password, and then you're up and running.
Mm-hmm.
It gets set up. Here, you basically get to see all your information about your subscription, and you have links to go manage your subscription in the Office 365 management portal.
Oh, okay.
But it has integration in the users tab. For example, now once that's set up, you can see that there's an Office 365 column
mm-hmm.
that shows you which users have Office 365 email.
Oh, okay.
But
so,
you can,
so not everybody needs to have it. You can basically selectively choose
based
on your subscription level who actually has
exactly.
Office 365 connectivity.
Exactly, because you might, you know, depending on what you choose or how you're paying for it in terms of the number of licenses you have.
Mm-hmm.
But here you also go after the fact and say, okay, I assign an Office 365 account. And when you do that, basically it gives you a UI here, which you can very easily say, yeah, what do you want the name or ID to be, and it can be the same as the account name,
mm-hmm.
And then say next, and at that point, basically, you'd be creating an Office 365 account for the
okay.
user. In this case, you already exist. But then you also see that if you go add a new user, let's say you add a new user to the system, let's call this employee, and let's give it some password. You can see that now this is also integrated into this wizard experience.
So it builds right in the wizard, so it's a seamless flow for someone. When they have to onboard a new employee, make the user account, and then also it will make the Office 365 account
too. That's right, and that's the whole point of the extensibility model for Essentials, is that it makes your integration with these cloud services seem seamless. The user doesn't need to know about it, it just works. Other add-ins, for example, we also have a Windows Azure online backup add-in that can also be installed that basically allows you to backup server files and folders up to Azure for additional protection.
That's the Windows Server backup built in for Azure storage.
Well, it's an add-in, so you have to actually install it after the fact, so it doesn't come in pre-installed.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember installing that one there on my server 2012 box when it was in beta form.
Right. And another really cool thing that we added, so we got feedback from our community around reports. So in the history of SPS, there used to be certain level of reporting and emailing of reports. In the previous version of Essentials, we didn't have that. We do email alerts, but we didn't have these reports of giving you an overall health of your network and your machines. In Essentials, we have an add-in for reports, and I'm showing this tab here. Basically, you can configure to get reports around critical alerts, critical errors, and event logs, server backup, services that are not running, updates, and your storage. And you can schedule it to come in a frequency of daily or hourly, and choose when you want it to be sent and who you want it to be sent to. And once that's set up, basically it generates and emails to you the report. And I can go here and take a look at a report here. Basically, it gives you a summary of all of this. In this case, everything's looking good. But if there was some error or critical alert, you would see the details farther below where it expands on it.
And also, I like at the bottom with the storage and stuff, so it's very easily integrated in there.
Right,
it does
very, very cool. Capacity. So, and that's the beauty of the add-ins. You know, you can extend it and allow additional functionality as well. Extend it to do integration with cloud services. So, in terms of devices, one of the things I want to show you on devices is I have both Windows 7 and Windows 8 machines configured to connect to the server here. You have some of the same functionality that you had in Essentials in the previous version, in terms of starting backups or doing restores. In addition, you can also implement group policies if you have the, I believe it's the professionals queue. And so you're able to do things like folder redirection, Windows update, defenders, firewalls. But you're also, in Windows 8, there is a feature called file history, which is basically meant to give you a very simple, straightforward way to do backup of your files and folders and be able to restore them, and basically any user should be able to do it. In Essentials, we've integrated that with Essentials in that you can point all that backup to going to the Essentials server. And you can manage it from your devices here, dashboard. You can say customize your backup, and you can basically say for file history, you know, what is the backup frequency and retention policies that you want to use. And it applies it to your Windows 8 machines.
So instead of having to go to a local disk that a lot of people that were in an environment where they weren't servers, they just have a locally attached USB drive, now it can go up to the server UNC share, and it just happens automatically for them.
And that you'll see here in the storage, you'll see that there's a file history folder. That's where your file history backups will go. And then you have company folder, and then you have folders that are generated when you turn on your media server functionality, like music, pictures, and so on. And then we have this tab applications, which basically shows you add-ins that you've downloaded and you have available to install. And it also gives you an ability to point you to Microsoft Pinpoint to go find additional add-ins if it shows you.
So that's a great walkthrough for the dashboard. Now, what about other ways you can go off and access the dashboard if you're not going to be on the server itself?
So other ways to access the dashboard can be from your launchpad. That if you're an admin, you have you can access it from the launchpad to there's actually a remote web app connection, and you actually can get the dashboard running right from the server in your client.
Okay.
There are other ways in which you can access some functionality from the dashboard. You know, talk about that in a little bit.
Sure.
First, I wanted to very quickly just talk about other ways to access resources on the server.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to show you the remote web access.
Okay, yeah.
And so let me log in here real quick. All right, so here in the remote web access, this was there on Essentials prior. I think some of the things that you'll notice here is that when you have an add-in like Office 365, you there's extensibility in the remote web access. You can see all your machines and you can connect to them. But one of the things that we did in Essentials was provide this tablet view so that you have better navigation, touch navigation, if you were accessing this from a tablet.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have the desktop view. Now, in addition to remote web access, another way to access the server can be through the phone application. We have a phone application called My Server, which gives you some limited management capabilities. For example, you can disable users, you can see alerts, you can see some of your devices, and see if their backup has been done. So I have some limited capabilities you can do there from the phone application.
Mm-hmm.
But I also want to talk about another application we built for Essentials, which is a Windows 8 application that is meant to be for the Slate.
Oh, okay.
And really focused on file access. And so let me quickly kind of switch to that mode here, and I'll show you the application that's working directly with Essentials Central Server. So here's the My Server app. This is basically the scenario here. It's just say that either you have a small business owner that wants to check in on things at home and has a Slate device that they just want to kind of casually work on, look at files that they've recently been working on, or it could be like a salesperson that's going out to meet customers and wants to have access to files and folders and things that are in the server, and wants to be able to even upload new files to the server, for example. So this application, just show you here, in this case, gives me access to all of my shared folders here. I can go to any of them and view all the content. This is getting it directly from the server here.
Yeah, okay. It so looks like their files are all local. So
yeah.
This is all and ultimately this is through the API set that people have access through the web interface.
Yeah, so just so you know how this is built, this is actually working through web services.
Oh, okay.
So Essentials 2012, we basically expanded the extensibility model to also now encompass web services. It comes out of the box with the ability to log on, authenticate to web services, and then it also provides a framework for third-party developers building add-ins to be able to add additional functionality to web services using the same framework.
So I'm assuming you have in the settings for this particular application authentication credentials you have to put in, and then once that's done in a local box experience on Windows 8, be it a tablet, be it a computer, or whichever it happens to be, you have full access to the files that you are authenticated to have access
yes.
to.
Yes, and this is working through HTTPS.
Okay.
Basically, what I didn't show was the login screen where you have to actually give the domain name of the server, and you have to enter your credentials, and it's set up through web services to authenticate you and find the server and establish a connection.
I'm assuming that the URL is probably the same as the web access URL, or something to that effect, to make it easy for someone to put up.
Yes,
okay.
It is. And the neat thing is, if you're a third-party developer and you want to build another, for example, application, whether it's an iPad app or Android app or a Windows 8 app, that you can leverage those same authentication methods, so you don't have to rewrite that from scratch. You focus on the functionality you want to add, and then the framework makes it easy for you to even add that as part of the web services framework from Essentials.
Okay.
And so it makes it very easy for you to create and new applications that are interactive with Essentials.
And so this particular app is called My Server as well?
It's called My Server.
It's available right now inside the Windows Store?
Yes, you can download from the Windows Store right now. One of the things that is neat with this application is that, let's say that I want to open a file here. This file will be downloaded, which was downloaded,
uh-huh.
And will show up in your list of recent files
okay.
that you accessed. Now, let's say that for some reason, let's say that I'm on the move and I don't have internet connectivity. You can actually work on these files offline. And anything that you do, any changes that you do on these files, once you get internet connectivity again, they will be uploaded to the server. And then if you want to see, this gives you an idea of, you can see what's downloading, uploading, and
mm-hmm.
if you have conflicts, now you can resolve on, you know, do you want to keep the server version or do you want to keep the local version?
Mm-hmm.
So it gives you some of that conflict resolution as well. And then in addition, like I am an admin, I'm logging as an admin here, so you also get some management functionality here in terms of looking at, being able to see the alerts from your
yep.
system.
Oh yeah.
And then being able to also, for example, see the devices here.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, you can see if it was successfully backed up, and if you want to start a backup, you can do it from the application.
Oh,
and
wow.
then when it comes to users, you can also see your list of users. And let's say, for example, that for some reason you want to disable this user, you can disable it from here. We don't allow you to delete the user because we don't want you accidentally start deleting users here.
Yeah.
If you want to do more involved actions, then you should go to the dashboard and do those.
Yeah.
But here you can at least take a simple action as to disable a user or force them to change a password.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very neat. I had no idea this option was even available. Now I've got to go back and install it because I use Essentials in my house for some of the stuff that I do, mm-hmm. and also for one of my lab machines too.
Sure.
Very, very neat. Well, thank you very much for taking the time to give us a quick tour. You mentioned that there is the MyServer app as well as the MyServer app for the Windows Phone, which does not have the same functionality but has some of the functionality too.
Yes.
And they're both available right now today from the Windows Store.
Yes.
You and I were talking earlier about this just a little bit. Licensing-wise, just from a virtualization perspective, this is available to be on a virtualized environment from a hoster, as an example.
Yeah.
If they have themselves set up correctly to be able to license off, be able to have this available to individual customers. It does not have the ability to run virtualization on top of it.
Right, so the Hyper-V role is not enabled
right.
in Essentials. So it cannot be a Hyper-V host.
Mm-hmm.
But it can be a VM running on a host.
Oh, okay.
So it can be set up and configured as a VM.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And predominantly the most common way people are going to be getting this is if they buy it pre-configured on hardware from OEMs. It seemed to be the experience that I've had in the past.
Right. I mean, in another channel would be to a value-add provider if they were decided to go that route
mm-hmm.
as well.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time. Christian, it's been great talking to you about Essentials.
Thank you, Rick.
Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Take care.